Let's open our Bibles here to our scripture reading for today, and I might have the wrong one listed in your particular bulletin, but we are going to John chapter 21, and we're going to start at verse 15. That's where we're going to be here this morning. John 21, the very last chapter of the Gospel of John, and I'm going to start reading at verse 15, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 19. So you have your place? Amen. Okay, let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Familiar scripture to us, God's Word says this: when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, all scripture is useful for the teaching, the correcting, and the rebuking of the children of God. So we just ask this morning, Lord, that this scripture in some way teach us, encourage us, correct us, rebuke us, whatever is necessary, Lord, to bring us, to equip the saints for your work, Lord. And I just pray that as I hide behind the cross, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart this morning to you will glorify you, Lord, in all that I say. To you be the glory, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today we come to the final chapter of the fourth gospel, chapter 21 of the Gospel of John. The gospel readings for this year are now complete as we take this journey through the New Testament in 2012. We did miss 3 weeks along the way due to weather or 1 week I was on vacation. But we spent about 6 months in just the first 4 books of the New Testament, and we're going to spend the next 6 months in the final 23 books of the New Testament. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's been a wonderful journey so far, and I certainly hope that everyone's been doing their daily reading. In today's scripture reading, we hear Jesus saying these words to the Apostle Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." What exactly does that mean? What does it mean if we're going to follow Jesus? Well, I got out my Webster's Dictionary, looked up the word follow, and there's many different definitions, but I'm going to use two of them here this morning. The first definition that Webster's Dictionary gives for the word follow is this: to go, proceed, or come after. I'll say that again: to go, proceed, or come after. Let me use that in a sentence. I will follow you in the car as far as the interstate. So I will follow you. I'll go. I'll come after you until a certain period of time. The second definition that Webster gave was this one: to engage in as a calling or a way of life. To engage in as a calling or a way of life. Now we're going to look at these two definitions this morning in light of how people follow Jesus. As we read these four Gospels, there's many times where Jesus tells a person or a group of people to follow me. The invitation was always open, the invitation is still open for people to follow him. But the people, all people will respond in one of three ways. And I'm going to look at these three responses. They'll be your three fill-in-the-blanks in the bulletin this morning. We're going to look at three different responses. We're going to look at the two definitions of the word follow. And then we're going to use them all with the reference of the parable of the sower. And I'm going to tie all that together, believe it or not. So let me go ahead and do that. First, we know that large crowds followed Jesus. Here's two examples that the Bible gives. Immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, remember the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, "When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him." And then again in John chapter 6, verse 2, says this, "And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick." So people are following Jesus. Large crowds are following Jesus. There are people in churches, large churches, small churches. People are following Jesus then. They are following Jesus now. Why? Why do we follow Jesus? And will following Jesus be our final commitment to him? Let's look at the three responses. Response number one, the invitation is open. But the first response will be this, a refusal to follow. It will be a refusal to follow. We have several examples where people are curious about Jesus, but for some reason or another, they refuse to follow him almost immediately. Let me give you those out of the Bible. Mark chapter 10, verses 20 through 22 is a story about the rich young ruler. We all know the story. And Jesus, he comes up to Jesus, wants to know how he can have eternal life. And Jesus says this back to him in his answer to his question. "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And we all know what the ruler did, don't we? His possessions were more valuable than following Jesus. One translation says he went away sad because of his wealth, of his extreme wealth. His wealth was more important than following Jesus. So to him, it was an immediate refusal to follow. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 61. Jesus invites two different men to follow him. And the first one responds and says this, "Well, Lord, first let me go bury my father." And then the second one says this, "But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Excuses. Excuses. They both said, "First, let me do this." Jesus doesn't play seconds to anybody. He is first. For these two men, something else was first, and something else was far more important than following Jesus. And these two examples that I gave, I'm going to compare that to the sower and the seed. Remember back from Matthew 13, the sower is out throwing the seed. Here's the word of God. He's just throwing it out there. And some of it falls on the path and the birds eat up the seed and it never takes root, right? And the seed never takes root. And these are the same as these people that I just mentioned. From the beginning, from the very beginning of the invitation to come follow me, these people, they refuse. They just refuse to follow because Jesus is just not as important than other things in their life. There's an immediate refusal to follow. So that's the first response to the open invitation to Jesus to come follow me. Let's talk about the second response. The second response would be this, a desire to follow, a desire to follow. Now let me explain this one because this one, it gets a little deep here now. A desire to follow. Here we have people who have a desire. They follow for a while. They jump on the Jesus bandwagon. But then for some reason or other, at some point in time later on, they either jump off or they fall off. Let me give you a couple biblical examples of that. John chapter 6, verse 66. Jesus just got done feeding the 5,000, and the Bible says this. And they're following Jesus, and it says, "From this time, many of his disciples," which would be followers, turned back and no longer followed him. Why? Well, in this particular case, this particular crowd, they wanted bread, all right, but they wanted bread for their tummies. And Jesus wanted to give them the true bread of life. And their desire, a desire that they once had, had now turned to disappointment. Another example in the Bible is a disciple by the name of Judas Iscariot. He followed Jesus for over 3 years until he kind of came to the conclusion that, you know what, there's supposed to be a messianic overthrow here, and Jesus is supposed to take control of everything, and I just don't think that's going to happen. So what does Judas do? He betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because his desire turned into disappointment. So why do these things happen to people like this? Well, for a while, and we all know people like this, for a while they appear very joyful and they appear to be excited about following Jesus. But back about the sower, talking about the sower and the seed, this is the seed that either falls on the rocky ground or it falls on the thorny ground. And once, and the Bible says this, once trouble or persecution or the worries of life or the deceitfulness of wealth, once any of those fall in, or maybe some other things, at some point in time they no longer desire to follow Jesus. The desire that they once had is now fading away. And these people, they fall into the first definition of the word follow, which is to go, to proceed, or to come after. Oh, they come after Jesus for a while, for a certain period of time, until they realize that Jesus just doesn't fix everything in their life. And then they just bail out. Let me just stop here and assure you this. This is a biblical truth. You all know me by now. And the people who fall into this category, it's not that they lost their salvation. It's just that they never had salvation to begin with. They are what the Bible calls apostates. They fall away from a professed faith because they never had one to begin with. So we have people. What's the response to the invitation? Well, some people, they just refuse to follow right off the bat. Some people have a desire to follow, but they kind of fall off the bandwagon. But do you have people who fall into the third response? And I hope that's each and every one of us in here. And there's a lot of appropriate words that we can put in our fill in the blank, but the two that I come up with are this. Either you could put, these people have a hunger to follow, or they have a passion to follow Jesus. That's their response. The people who fall into this category are true disciples of Christ. These people persevere in their faith. They make decisions and they stick by them. Mark chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. Jesus says this to Peter and Andrew. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says this. At once they left their nets and followed him. And then from Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, it says this. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. And then one more, Mark 10, 28, Peter said this to Jesus, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. If you're going to have a hunger to follow Jesus, if you're going to have a passion to follow Jesus, we got to realize that following Jesus has a cost. Jesus says this in Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone's going to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. In John chapter 16, verse 2, Jesus tells his disciples this. When you follow me, not if, but when you follow me, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Well, let me see here. I want to follow Jesus. I want to have a hunger for Jesus. I want to have a passion for Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Some things that might happen. Well, if I'm going to do this, I got to deny myself. I got to take up my cross daily and follow Him. I might have no place to lay my head. Who knows where He might send me? I might get thrown out of my religious establishment because I want to follow this Jesus. And I might even get killed to follow Him. Oh, sure, count me in. That sounds like the kind of life I want to lead. Yes, sir, count me in. Sure, I got a hunger to follow Jesus. But that's the kind of hunger He wants us to have. We would give absolutely everything to follow Him. But if we look at the parable of the sower and the seed, this is the seed that falls on the good soil. It produces a crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And that hunger or that passion to follow Jesus continues. And that hunger and that passion to follow Jesus grows. And that hunger and that passion to follow Jesus perseveres. The people who fall into this category fall into the second definition of the word follow, which is this from Webster. To engage in as a calling or a way of life. If you want to truly follow Jesus, it is a calling. If you want to truly follow Jesus, it will be a way of life. So, with all that, what about our friend Peter the Apostle in John chapter 21? Where does this guy stand at this point in time? Well, if we remember, through his 3-year career as a disciple, Peter had his moments of triumph and his moments of failure. Jesus at one moment gives him the keys to the kingdom. And then a couple minutes later, Jesus is telling him, "Get behind me, Satan." In one moment, Peter is walking on water. And the next moment, when he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he's drowning. Peter. We talked about him several weeks back, and we said these things about him. He was proud. He was outspoken. He was inquisitive. He was impetuous. He was brash, and he was volatile. But now here's Peter. And in his last encounter that Peter actually had with Jesus was before Jesus was put to death. And 3 times, Peter said, "I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man." In Peter's last personal encounter with Jesus, Peter was a coward. He had denied Jesus 3 times. And now here he is, sitting face to face with him, having a personal conversation, just like the good old days. So what kind of follower is Peter really? One who just desires Jesus? Or is he one who truly hungers and has a passion for Him? Well, I think we know the answer to that question. We know what Peter does after this. He goes on to write several of the new books of the New Testament, and tradition has it that he followed Jesus to the very end and was crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified like his Lord and Savior. I think we know what kind of follower Peter was. But I don't want to conclude the 4 Gospels as we take this journey through the New Testament by looking at Peter. I want us to conclude the 4 Gospels by just looking real briefly at Jesus. Kind of a summary of what we have learned over the last 6 months. Not so much what kind of follower are we, and we need to answer that ourselves. But let me tell you this. Let's answer this question. What kind of Savior is Jesus? He is one who looks at the heart. And because He does, He overlooks our pride. He overlooks our outspokenness. And He overlooks our inquisitiveness. And He overlooks our impetuousness. He overlooks our brashness. And He overlooks our volatility. and he overlooks our cowardice. Why would he do that? Because that is what a father does for his own. He blesses us, believers, with the largest catch of fish that we have ever had. He calls us out of the boat, and sometimes we walk on water. He casts out our demons, and he removes the chains that bound us for such a long time. He gives us sight. He heals us. He forgives us. He gives us peace that calms our storms. He promises us rest from our burdens. He gives us living water, and he gives us bread of life, and he gives us light to overcome the darkness in our lives. He prays for us that our faith will not fail. And he even kills the fatted calf, and he places a ring on our finger when we come home back to him. And to him it doesn't matter if we are black or white, if we are male or female, if we are rich or poor, if we are Jew or Gentile, if we are a slave or if we're free, if we are blind, lame, deaf, mute, leprous, bleeding, or demon-possessed. He raised us all from spiritual death unto spiritual life. He has given us truth that has set us free. He is the Good Shepherd, and we follow him because he knows us. We are his sheep, and we know the Master's voice, and we love him because he first loved us. And now, just like he did for Peter and for the other disciples, he is sending all of us out. We have a mission. We have this mission that we need to do for him, to make disciples of all nations. And as we do, he continues to say to us, as he said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. I hope we all follow him with a hunger and with a passion. Let's go to God in prayer.